It's Tom and Loggy's daily podcast. Tom and Loggy. Catch them live weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on K-Rock 955.
It's time for lyrical headlines, headlines, headlines that are lyrical.
Ba-da-da-da-ba-da. Changed it up with some bars and some da's this week. G'day, Beck.
Hello.
Hi, Beck.
Hello, Loggy from over there. How are you?
Good.
And good morning, Lingy.
Good morning, Beck. It's always good to see you for this game, the game that I officially suck at so badly that I never get it correct.
Oh, wow. I reckon this year.
Well. Well. Funny you should say that because there is a theme. We were talking about it on air before, weren't we, Log?
We were, and I didn't realise that Tom actually knows the themes beforehand. So that seems like a bit of a conflict of interest. But that's okay. We won't get bogged down in that.
Okay.
Cheater.
Hang
anyway.
On. I came up with the theme.
Yeah.
I came up with the theme this week thinking something's happened this week. It was fairly downplayed. You know, nothing really happened.
Low key, certainly.
Very low key.
Yeah. Modest, handsome.
So,
though.
I figured we'll be looking at songs that were hits in 1982.
Is this in your wheelhouse?
Probably need to go about 20 years before that.
Right.
But this is at least getting, I'm half a chance today.
I think so. I was looking at the songs going, oh, Lingy's got to get this one.
Yeah.
Lingy's got to get this one.
All right, well, you are going to read the lyrics to songs like you do in your day job as if they're news bulletins, and we need to decipher not only the artist but the song title as well. If we get half of it wrong or completely incorrect, then the other two competitors get a free runner with extra lyrics. Our names are our buzzers. Tom!
Lingy.
Loggy.
That's a best of three arrangement. Are we all ready to play?
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Lyrical headlines. Question number one.
Hey, it's Beck in the newsroom. I'm saying all the things that I know you'll like, making good conversation. I got to handle you just right. You know what I mean. I took you to an intimate restaurant, then to a suggestive movie. There's nothing left to talk about, unless it's horizontally. Let's get physical.
Loggy.
Lingy.
Loggy got in first.
Yeah, Olivia Newton-John. Let's get physical.
Yes.
I did not realise that was such a saucy song. I mean,
Did you honestly think it was about aerobics?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, the 80s were a hell of a time.
I suppose that's the way they could get it to be a hit, wasn't it? By having the
aerobics component.
Yes, aerobics style.
Yeah.
I was so close to getting one, man.
No, Lingy.
You couldn't let me in, could you?
Sorry.
No, we did talk about that as well. Like, let's give Lingy a chance.
I know, and I just was like, I forgot.
Old habits die hard.
I know.
Question number two. Here we go.
Hey, it's back in the newsroom even. Rising up, back on the street. Did my
Lingy.
Time.
Yes! I have the tiger. Survivor.
Yes!
Yeah!
Is that the first point you've got this whole time?
Yes!
5 weeks in.
Nice.
Finally feel like I'm a part of the team and contributing something.
That's because it's from a soundtrack of one of your favourite movies.
Rocky III?
Yeah.
Did you know it was Rocky III?
Sure.
Right. Who did you fight in Rocky III?
Apollo.
Nah, that was 1 and 2.
Damn.
Clubber Lang.
Oh, Clubber Lang.
Could have done without the accent.
Yeah.
So, okay. A 1 point each for you. If either of you guys get it, then
you win. This.
If I get it, then we have to go to a tiebreaker.
Okay.
Here we go. Question number three. This is fun.
Hey, it's Beck in the newsroom. I saw him dancing there by the record machine. I knew he must have been about 17. The beat was going strong, playing my favourite song. And I could tell it wouldn't be long till he was with me. And I could tell it wouldn't be long till he was...
Oh, no, no. It's Kiss?
No.
Oh, hang on, I've got the wrong one. Sorry. Keep going.
We'll have some more lyrics.
Okay, I could tell it wouldn't be long till he was with me, singing I Love Rock.
Tom! Oh, it's I Love Rock and Roll.
Yes.
Is it Joan Jett?
And
the Black Heart?
Yes.
Oh! I thought I was going to sneak in.
Far out.
I would have taken Joan Jett as well because everyone...
my time filling in on Classic Hits Radio in Port Lincoln really helped out there.
Oh, my God, that means...
Tiebreaker!
Hey, it's Beck in the newsroom. Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me. The love we share seems to go nowhere.
Tom, it's soft cell tainted love.
You couldn't let him. You couldn't let him.
I told you.
Okay, so before we started playing Lingy, Tom and I said, hey, let's just let Lingy win. And then I said, there's no way you're going to be able to do it. And so I've forgotten the first question.
Yeah.
Even though you won the second one by your own bat.
Mm.
But you could have just held off for a second,
Tom. I told
Tom,
you I was going to swoop in at the end.
I had tainted love. I probably wouldn't have got soft sell.
There we go.
So, but right. I appreciate that I am so pathetic that you two need to get together and go, oh, let's chop him out here.
Sorry. I give you half a point because you knew the song.
Yay.
Oh, thank you. Makes me the winner.
So that's
Yay.
A draw.
Does it? I don't think it does. There's always next week, mate.
Tom and Log. Tom and Loggy's podcast. K-Rock 955.
I'm sorry that you've had to come in here and have Loggy expose herself to you straight up.
Oh, sorry.
Showing a bit of leg.
I just wanted to see. I got bit by a march fly.
You haven't just been bit. You've been viciously attacked by march flies.
I know. It's the Baruli. I hate them. It's not
It's got the Baruli. Mate, you live on the Ballarine. You've got the Baruli.
It's not that.
You've got possums in your backyard. You encourage them in your backyard. You've got 100%, you've got Baruli.
It's your daily on-demand fix of K-Rock's Tom and Loggy.
Tom and Log.
Mate, you did really well in lyrical headlines. Went missing a bit towards the end there. We were like, where's Lingy?
I went missing, did I?
Yeah.
Really? You just couldn't help yourself. I nearly had that. You could have just helped me out a little bit, supported me.
I'll pass you a note under the desk or something.
That'd be a good idea. Hey, speaking of going missing, I think it was last week, a week before, I told a Nathan Ablett story.
Yes. We know because we've got so many people more Nathan Ablett, please. Yeah. We want to know all about him.
Well, it's funny that I got a lot of feedback running into people. They're like, oh, I love the Nathan Ablett story. Have you got any others? What was he like? Because a bit of an enigma, played in a premiership at maybe 23 years of age, kicked 5 in a grand final, and then just retired all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And everyone wants to know more about him. One of the nicest teammates I ever played with.
Aww.
But when you said going missing, it just prompted my memory of Nathan Ablett going missing in a game.
During a game.
So there's a game I remember, GMHBA Stadium. This is pre the big development on the Brownlow Stand wing side. So it was the old Brownlow Stand.
Yeah.
Sitting on the bench, Bomber Thompson in the coach's box. Ronnie Watt, the great Ronnie Watt, as the bench coach. The message has come down from Bomber to Ronnie saying, righto, get Nathan Ablett on, time to go. Poor Ronnie's looked down at the players about to say, oh, Nath, you're up. No Nathan Ablett.
He's not supposed to be there. He's
supposed
not there.
To be sitting there on the bench. Yeah. They're looking out on the oval going, oh, we haven't stuffed up here and put 19 players on the field. No Nathan Ablett. So message has gone back to Bomber. We can't put him on. We can't find him.
Bomber would have been pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
The words coming back to Ronnie cannot be repeated on radio right now.
Yeah.
It was along the lines of go and find him.
Yeah.
so Ronnie sent one of the trainers. Said, you've got to go and find Nate. Maybe he's just nicked in down the race and gone to the toilet. So quickly, just go and check. Again, this is the old one. So the bench is right next to the race.
Mm.
So he's gone down there, not in the toilet, don't know. Ronnie's, you got to find him because Bomber is screaming at me right now.
Oh, my God.
So they've headed in off the old race there. There used to be like this room. It wasn't a big one, but it was called the Players' Lounge. It was a handful of couches there and a bit of a TV and like a small little, what you call a kitchenette. When we're training, you'd have brekkie there in the morning and then you'd get
Make
into your training.
Or whatever, yeah.
So the trainer thought, well, I'll check in here. There's no chance though. Walked into the Players' Lounge and here's Nathan Ablett sitting back on the couch, feet up on a little footstool, watching the game that he is supposed to be playing
a part of.
What?
On the TV.
Why?
It was a little cold outside. And
why would I sit out here like an idiot when I could be inside on the couch?
You can get the pictures on the TV. You don't need to be watching it for real life. They're trying to get, Nath, you're supposed to be on. Without, and like, not a worry. If I'd done something like that, I never would. But if I'd done it and I'd got busted, I would have been, quick, and run out there. Nath has just jumped up and goes, yeah, cool, no worries. And jogged down the race as someone's coming off, jogged straight out on the ground into the action.
Probably kicked a bag as well.
Yeah, not a worry in the world.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
One of the greatest.
Absolutely.
Tom and Loggy's podcast, K-Rock 955.
Now, you know, Jimmy, James and I went to Tassie in Feb and we spent a couple of nights in St. Helens, which is close to the Bay of Fires, mm-hmm. which you may have heard of or seen. They're those rocks that look all orange and stuff, so it's a bit of a tour sightseeing place.
Geographically, but East Coast?
East Coast. Now, the problem was is that we had quite a few dramas in Tassie in the sense that everything was booked out.
Yeah, and Jimmy was like, it's fine, it's Tasmania, nobody's going to be there.
Yeah. But it turns out no one wanted to go to the mainland because of the COVID, so everything was booked up. Anyway, the weather as well, extremely wild, and we had to pack down all of our camp stuff, end up at this Airbnb that we didn't want to. We wanted to camp the whole time, but we had to pay for an Airbnb. So we went there.
Tried to go the whole trip without a shower, unfortunately.
I know, very unfortunate.
Because you love camping, you love bushwalking.
On a designated path. Anyway, so we stayed at this place and it was said it was a private guest house, private apartment, right? But it turned out that this apartment was actually attached to the house as well, okay? So it's a full house with like a separate area of the house. A door connects the house to the guest house, okay? And so the people were there, they were very friendly and all this sort of stuff. But value for money, I just kind of felt like, oh, look, value for money, maybe not really. It was $200 a night.
Wow.
And, I mean, it was all well and good or whatever.
To essentially live in a share house, stay in a share house.
Yeah, like you don't, idea. Well, it was our own kitchenette area and stuff like that. But anyway, so, you know, at the end of Airbnbs, you give voting and you give your review.
Yes.
And so we were like voting on the road or whatever. You can vote for cleanliness, accuracy of information, communication, location, check-in and value. Okay. So I did my review. She did hers and said, oh, that we're a lovely couple this sort of stuff, right? I did my review.
Lied.
So I did my review. Now, what happens on Airbnb, you both don't see your reviews until both of them get posted up and then you see them.
Oh, no. Awkward.
And so this is my review. This is what I said. So I said, Caroline and her family were lovely. The place is attached to the house, so occasionally you can hear noise from the family and worry that they might hear the same from you. But other than that, it was a lovely stay. Caroline provided us some snacks, chockies, and a bottle of bubbles, which was a very nice surprise. Her pets are the cutest, two dogs and a kitty who came for a visit. Clean space and very comfortable bed. Okay? Mm-hmm. She replied, sorry for any noise. We just found out our daughter got into medicine, Hobart Uni. We were all very excited, right? But I didn't mean it like that. I just meant, hey, guess if you're staying there, just be quiet, you know what I mean? Because it's attached to the house.
Move the headboard a little bit away from the wall.
Exactly. Very amorous holiday. No, anyway, and then she wrote, I got this private message. Gee, thanks a lot for the lousy review. If we were too noisy, all you had to do was tell me. Also, I can't believe you gave me a 3 for cleaning. It's out of 5, by the way. As I work so hard to do a COVID clean and wash everything myself, once again, you could have told me in these hard times. I don't think you understand how devastating to my business a review was. I'm so sorry you weren't happy. So I was in tears, right? Because I was like, oh my God, I didn't mean to vote her 3 for cleanliness. The place was clean, but I voted her 3 value for money because I was like, I've stayed in Airbnbs before where it's your own apartment. I just thought for $200 a night plus an extra $100 on top of that for the cleaning, it was sort of a little bit overpriced for where it was, right?
What you wrote was quite nice, I thought.
So I wrote back. And I messaged the people at Airbnb and I said, can I please change my review? You can't do that.
No, once it's in.
I didn't know. I was like, I voted incorrectly. Can I please? So I tried to amend it. No. And then I wrote back, Caroline, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say. I'm truly sorry. I honestly didn't mean that you were noisy at all. We just thought you might have been able to hear us. And I wanted people to be respectful to your family with their noise. Mm. I should have worded it differently. I don't know what happened with the cleanliness because we discussed how clean it was. It was during long dries. I reviewed you. Must have noted it incorrectly. I don't know what else to say. I've contacted Airbnb to remove it and change it. They won't let me. Thank you for educating me. I didn't realize I couldn't change it. I'm truly sorry. Right? And then she wrote back, thank you for your understanding. I now have no more future bookings. Hope it won't last. I was devastated.
You have ruined this woman's life.
Ruined everything.
I was devastated. She still had a 4.89
so it's pretty high
out of 5.
Still,
it's a pretty high rating, right? Yeah. And I've checked. She is fully booked out. for the next few months. Okay, so thank God. And people have gone there after us and they've all reviewed it. And, well, I felt terrible. Like, I honestly felt really terrible. I didn't realise that that was a thing. So just while, just be careful, because whilst you're reviewing your Airbnb, you know, you can do some damage. Which
this
I
has hurt you, hasn't it?
It really did. I felt so bad. And I was like pleading with the Airbnb people. I blamed James. I was like, my partner's done it and he didn't know what he was doing and I'd really like to amend it. And they're like, no, that can't happen because that's the whole thing with Airbnb.
Yeah.
So beware.
So what you should have done, I don't know if you've got anything to add here.
Well, I'm going to add a tiny bit and I might get myself into a little bit of trouble here. I think her replies to you are a little bit OTT, over the top. Saying you've basically ruined my business and we can't get another booking when that is just factually incorrect.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she can tone down a little bit.
It was a bit of a, oh, God, like a shocking message when I got it.
You wrote a nice review and you reviewed it pretty nicely. I think I'm on the logs team here, Tommy.
You're looking at you know what I'm going to say.
No.
Don't get involved, mate. Okay. That's what I always say. If I ever meet the person that runs my Airbnb and afterwards, like the night before our wedding, we stayed in St. Leonard, stayed at a beautiful house, loved it.
Yeah.
The woman was like, all right, so we'll write each other a review and it'll be all great. And I'm like, thumbs up. Yeah, sure. Never thought about it again until just this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't get involved.
Miss the show. Here are the best bits of Tom and Logie. Tom and Logie. On K-Rock.
An Uber driver. There's a story out. An Uber driver is facing
Keep going.
Do you want me to get in there?
Disciplinary. Why is my brain broken?
Do not help her.
Disciplinary. Why is my brain broken? I know it's not right.
Keep going. One more try.
So they're in trouble, right? So because an 18-year-old went out to the club and vomited in the Uber, right? But the Uber driver was like, hey, you owe me $500 and you're going to give it to me right now.
Ooh.
Okay? Because the cleaning fee plus I'm going to lose like $300 worth of,
yeah. And
you know,
the smell.
Yeah.
And all that type of stuff. But they kind of came at them and were like, you will pay me right now. And it's kind of a thing,
right? Got a bit aggressive.
Right?
Aggro, you can't do
but,
that.
But. We've all been there. We've tried to, you know. Every time, this is going to be a bit gross, and I'm sorry because I get wet mouth when I think about vomit. I hate it. I just hate it. But it's rarely can you control it, and rarely does it go where you want it to go. Do you know what I mean? Like there are times you run to the bathroom, right?
And you make it. It's
and you
fine.
Make it. You go. You run. You stick your head in the toilet, and you make it. Right. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And it can actually happen at the worst time possible.
What's the most awkward for you? Can you remember?
Go on.
Go back in your mind. Remember that time.
All right. So I was meeting up with a fella at the Night Cat. Do you know what the Night Cat is?
No.
It's great. You know the Night Cat. Yeah, in Melbourne, right?
Okay.
And I was a bit nervous, so I wanted some Dutch courage, but I ended up being Dutch D-head, right? And
you got too Dutch.
I got too,
You went double Dutch. You never go double Dutch.
Never. And so I ended up being a bit ill and I had to go out the front of the place and I was sitting in the gutter and he came over and I was there with my friends too. He came over to me and he was talking to me, but I could feel it coming up. So I just clamped my mouth shut and he was trying to talk to me and I just kept going...
And this is a guy you liked, like this is a date sort of thing.
Yeah, date-sitch. And then he's like, do you want me to go get your friends? And I'm like, And then he turned around, he left and I turned around and just went, all in the street.
Just got a mouthful of vomit
all over
just nodding to him.
All over myself.
Brilliant.
Right me lap.
At least he didn't try and charge you $500 for it. For the privilege. 52232955, awkward places to vomit. Where did you do it? And you're just like, oh, man.
I wanted
all
to hold
places,
it in. Yeah. I wanted to hold it in.
So I remember staying at a mate's house and it was the first time I'd been there. And we had done some drinking, so we would obviously have been 18.
And responsible.
But I woke up feeling crook and was like, oh, God, I'm going to spew. So launched myself out of my bed on his bedroom floor and went running for what I thought was the bathroom, but it was actually his brother's bedroom.
No, burst, you didn't.
Burst in there in the middle of the room and just like had my hand over my mouth like this, and just shot a little bit of spew like between my fingers onto their carpet. Realised it wasn't the right room and then kind of found the bathroom.
No. I can't. I don't know why I brought this to the table because I honestly struggle.
It happens. Simone from Thompson without a P. When did it happen to you, mate?
Okay, so this was when I was 17, so I think it was in the 90s, and I was at Geelong Showgrounds, and they got me out of my wheelchair, and I went to on the zipper, and we were up the top, and I vomited everywhere below, and I've got a few people.
Amazing.
And I've got a few people. So
you couldn't hold it in?
They weren't impressed. Hey?
You couldn't hold it in?
No, I didn't know what was coming. Yeah. And I've got my best friend too.
Oh, brilliant.
The zipper is nasty.
That
I'm with
is
Simone
nasty.
On that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nasty.
Yeah. Cutler Dagwood dogs.
Oh, stop it. Adam from Cario. When did you spew when you didn't want to?
It was a few years ago now, probably 10, 15. It was a K-Rock function, actually, for a grand final. We're up at one of the hotels in Melbourne and having a few drinks up on the roof and on the bus on the way there and all that stuff. And
this is a legendary party. Fine. Just so you know, this party has gone down in K-Rock folklore and
really?
It still gets brought up to this day because it was hectic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was very good. And I ended up in the toilet stalls in the bar, hugging the toilet bowl for a good 2 hours.
Yeah,
with people coming to check on me and that. And then the bus came to take us back, and I couldn't get on the bus.
You weren't allowed on the bus, and they had to give you a train ticket. They gave you a Mikey and put you on the train home. You are legendary. You have gone down in K-Rock folklore.
Yuck.
There's more to that story. I'll tell you guys off
air. Okay.